Welcome to the Deep Dive. We know you want to cut through the noise and, well, get straight to those aha moments without feeling totally overwhelmed.
Right. Because there's just so much noise out there right now.
There really is. And imagine sitting at your desk, right? You take your hands entirely off the keyboard and you just watch your cursor wake up.
It's a wild visual.
It is. It darts across the screen. It opens this massive Excel file, highlights a specific set of quarterly data, runs a pivot table, copies the insights, switches over to PowerPoint, and builds a fully formatted six-slide presentation.
And you didn't write a single line of code.
Not one. You didn't even touch your mouse. You just asked your computer to do its job. And on the morning of March 14, 2026, that exact sequence stopped being like some compelling demo in a closed lab. It became a live commercial reality.
Which completely shatters the timeline most of the tech industry was operating on,
Yeah.
honestly. We're looking at a stack of sources today that detail six distinct, massive announcements that all hit the wire on that exact same morning. And, when you look at them in isolation, sure, they're
That'd
impressive.
be impressive.
But when you overlay them, you realize you're looking at the architectural blueprint for the next era of human-machine interaction.
And our mission in this deep dive is to map out that architecture for you.
Exactly. Because knowledge is only valuable when it's actually applied. We're looking at the blueprint for the very near future today.
Right. And look, we know you follow the industry, so we aren't going to waste time defining what a large language model is. You already know the basics.
Yeah, we can skip the 101 stuff.
Totally. We want to dig into the mechanisms, like how are these technologies actually achieving these leaps? And more importantly, why did these specific breakthroughs trigger an immediate multi-billion-dollar corporate war?
It's all connected.
It really is. We are going to connect the dots between software agency, the literal death of the search economy, and the quantum physics required to power all of it.
And the through line connecting all of this, it really starts with the concept of agency.
Right.
Because for the last few years, we've interacted with AI mostly as a highly advanced text generator. You prompt it, it generates an output, and then you, the human, have to take that output and physically do something with it.
Right, the human is the execution layer.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this, because OpenAI's release of GPT 5.4 that morning fundamentally removes the human from the execution layer entirely.
It does.
They introduced this feature called computer control, and I want to dig into how this actually works under the hood, because previous AI was kind of like a very smart librarian who hands you a book,
It's
right?
a good way to put it.
But GPT 5.4 is more like an intern who takes the book, opens Excel, analyzes the data, clicks around, and builds the complete PowerPoint for you.
Yeah, it's doing the labor. And the way it does it is actually much more brute force than you'd think, which is what makes it so robust.
Wait, so it's not just using like hidden API hooks to talk to Excel.
No, not at all. GPT 5.4 utilizes an advanced multimodal vision system to continuously parse the literal pixel coordinates of your screen.
Wow.
It is literally seeing the graphical user interface the exact same way you do. It recognizes the shape of the submit button or the layout of a spreadsheet cell or, the search bar in some proprietary piece of enterprise software that has zero API.
Right, so it calculates the X and Y coordinates on your monitor and just commands the operating system to move the cursor there and click.
Precisely.
Which means it can use legacy software, it can navigate some clunky custom-built inventory management system from 2008 just by looking at it.
That is the commercial holy grail.
Yeah.
But seeing the screen is really only half the battle here.
Right, it has to know what to do.
Exactly. The real breakthrough in 5.4 is the new thinking mode coupled with a 1 million token context window.
A million tokens, that's huge.
It's massive. Previous models operated on immediate token prediction. They just guessed the next best word as fast as possible. But GPT 5.4 employs what they call a tree of thoughts reasoning architecture.
So it pauses.
It pauses. Before it moves your mouse, it actually stops to analyze and evaluate. It generates multiple possible sequences of actions, evaluates the probability of success for each sequence, and then selects the optimal path.
It's planning. It's literally mimicking human thought process.
Yeah.
And the stats from the release notes back up how effective this is. I mean, they cited 33% fewer errors than GPT 5.2
Yep.
and an 87% success rate in executing complex multi-step tasks without any human intervention.
Which is wild.
And it doesn't forget what the original goal was, right? Because of that massive context window, it can hold the entire contents of a 500-page operational manual in its active memory while it clicks through a database.
Yeah, Sam Altman, the CDO of OpenAI, he framed this as the first AI that interacts with a computer like a human.
That's a bold claim, but it tracks.
It does. But, you know, we have to look at the security angle, too. Like, what happens when hackers get hold of an AI that can control a mouse and keyboard with that level of autonomy?
Oh, yeah. That's terrifying.
OpenAI claims to have advanced security guardrails, but, you know, it's something we really need to ponder. The risks are substantial.
Well, and if we step back and look at the economic consequences of this too, I mean, if the AI is navigating the graphical interface, fetching your data, summarizing your emails, buying your flights,
you aren't doing those things manually anymore.
Right. More specifically, I am not opening a web browser.
Exactly.
And if I'm not opening a web browser, I am not typing queries into a search engine.
Which brings us to the second earthquake of that morning.
Right.
The complete disruption of the underlying economics of the internet.
The $50 billion Amazon alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Let's break down the sheer scale of this corporate war. Amazon announced a $50 billion direct investment into OpenAI, rocketing OpenAI's valuation to a staggering $840 billion.
It's almost incomprehensible.
It is. Now, Amazon obviously has their own AI initiatives, so why are they dumping the GDP of a small country into OpenAI?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it becomes pretty clear. Amazon isn't just funding an AI model. They are funding the assassination of Google's primary revenue stream.
Wow. Okay.
We're looking at the formation of an unprecedented three-headed corporate titan here. It's essentially the anti-Google alliance.
Right.
You've got Amazon bringing the unparalleled scale of AWS. You've got Microsoft, who is already in with a massive $13 billion stake and deep Azure and Office integration.
Right.
And behind both of them is NVIDIA, bringing the custom silicon and a $26 billion investment of their own, their stated goal, to replace traditional Google search entirely with ChatGPT.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. Is Google really just a sitting duck here?
They're certainly not helpless.
Right, we're talking about a $2 trillion behemoth. They have a $50 billion defense chest of their own. And Sundar Pichai immediately sent out that defiant tweet pointing to their Gemini ecosystem, saying they were ready for any challenge.
Oh, Google has distribution, absolutely.
Right, they control the mobile operating system for half the planet.
They do, but contrast that with what Jeff Bezos said. He released a quote alongside the funding announcement, calling AI a human partner that will leave traditional search models entirely behind.
Yeah, that was a very clinical, strategic shot across the bow.
It was. Imagine a world where the concept of Googling something is entirely replaced by just having a conversation with your agent. Google has the classic innovator's dilemma here.
Because to deploy an AI agent that bypasses search, they have to willingly cannibalize their own core advertising business.
Exactly. Microsoft and Amazon don't have that problem. They are perfectly happy to burn the search economy to the ground if it means they get to own the agent layer of the internet.
Wow. Okay, so the software is ready and the corporate war chests are fully unlocked. But there is a massive, glaring physical bottleneck here that no amount of money can instantly solve.
The compute power.
Yes. If a billion people start using thinking mode AI agents to navigate their screens simultaneously, the processing power and energy required are unfathomable. Classical silicon computers are hitting their limits.
They require way too much power, and they generate way too much heat.
Which perfectly sets up the third source from that morning. The hardware had to evolve.
And it did.
It did, with the discovery of the triplet superconductor.
This is huge.
It is, but I need you to explain what this actually is, because my physics is a little rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a superhighway where cars, meaning electricity, and cargo, meaning quantum spin, can travel at the speed of light with absolutely zero traffic or resistance?
That is actually a really great analogy, yes.
Okay, good.
To understand why Dr. Sarah Chen called this the holy grail of quantum physics, we have to look at why quantum computers have been so incredibly difficult to build.
Right. The fragility issue.
Exactly. Previously, science had to choose between speed and stability. In a quantum computer, a qubit exists in superposition. It's one, zero, or both simultaneously. But that state is incredibly fragile. Any environmental heat destroys it.
Which is why current quantum computers look like giant golden chandeliers hanging inside supercooled vacuums, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, the cryogenic labs. But the triplet superconductor delivers both speed and stability simultaneously. It uniquely aligns the electron spins to lock the quantum information into the physical geometry of the material.
Okay, wait. So it weaves the quantum information into Like a knot.
Essentially, yes. A knot that can't be easily untied by heat or vibration.
That is mind-blowing.
Oh.
And the implications are staggering. I mean, the sources report 90% less energy consumption,
Yep.
100 times more stable, and crucially, it can operate at room temperature.
That is the game changer. That takes quantum computing out of these specialized hyper-cooled labs and puts it on a path to eventually sit in offices and homes.
Which is wild. The sources tease some incredible future applications too, like unhackable quantum internet and light-speed maglev trains.
Oh, the applications are endless.
But, a physics breakthrough is just theory until someone actually builds it.
Right.
And exactly that morning, two massive announcements proved the race to build it is already at full sprint.
The transition from theory to commercial reality is happening so fast.
It really is.
Yeah.
Let's look at IBM first. They announced this historic pledge, locking in an aggressive timeline to achieve true quantum advantage by the end of 2026.
Which is just months away from that March announcement. And we should define quantum advantage for the listener because it's the threshold where everything changes.
Please do.
It's the moment a quantum computer can solve real-world problems in minutes that would take our current best supercomputers thousands of years to brute force.
Thousands of years.
Literally. And IBM cited their plan to scale from 1,000 to 10,000 qubits to get there.
So what does this all mean, like practically?
IBM broke it down into three targets. Number one, discovering new drugs via complex molecular simulation.
Wow.
Number two, optimizing global supply chains, instantly finding the best routes for millions of variables.
Okay.
And number three, creating absolute security via quantum cryptography.
Which makes the second commercial announcement even more urgent.
The IonQ and Cambridge partnership.
Yes. They are building a $100 million a year joint center at the Ray Dolby Center with 500 staff. And their goal is to build Europe's first commercial quantum computer by 2028.
What's fascinating here is the massive cultural shift.
How so?
Well, Professor Andy Parker from Cambridge and Dr. John Preskill from Caltech both pointed out that the lines between theoretical academia and commercial industry are completely blurring.
Because the tech is moving too fast to wait for traditional peer review.
Oh, exactly. The old academic silos are collapsing. They are merging because they have to.
Okay, so if we pull all these threads together,
Yeah.
we have AI that can think and act independently with GPT 5.4.
Right.
We have massive corporate backing from Amazon and OpenAI to integrate it into daily life and kill search.
Yep.
And we have the infinite processing power to run it all thanks to these quantum breakthroughs.
The foundations are all there.
So what does this look like when it actually enters your living room?
This is the final piece of the puzzle.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Apple pulled back the curtain on their 2027 project, Homebot.
Classic Apple, arriving with a highly polished paradigm shift.
Exactly. It's a desktop robot with an advanced Siri large language model and a totally unique visual personality.
It's not just a smart speaker you yell at across the kitchen anymore.
No, it's a Siri that you can actually make eye contact with. It reads your facial expressions, controls your entire smart home, conducts your video calls, and it even plays with your kids.
They've put 5 years of R&D and over 1,000 engineers into creating this.
But I have to stop and ask the hard questions here because I know people are thinking it. Isn't there a massive creep factor here?
It's a very valid concern.
Like, what about privacy? Or kids getting too emotionally dependent on a machine that's reading their micro expressions?
Those are very real concerns. Apple, of course, promises advanced on-device security so the data never leaves your house. But the emotional aspect, Dr. Kate Darling, an MIT robotics researcher, she pointed out that this isn't just a product.
Right.
It is the beginning of a completely new emotional relationship between humans and machines.
Which is heavy.
It is. Apple believes technology should be human. That's a direct quote from Tim Cook. But you really have to critically evaluate what it actually means when an AI appears to feel.
Yeah, it completely rewires our baseline expectations.
It does.
And that is what was so profound about overlaying these six announcements. I mean, just to summarize this journey we've been on, we started the morning with an AI learning to physically click a mouse.
Right.
We watched tech titans wage a $50 billion war over it. We saw quantum physics provide the ultimate engine to run it. And we ended with that exact intelligence getting a face and sitting right there on your kitchen counter.
It's a completely new reality.
And we have to remind you, this isn't science fiction. These
Yeah.
are actual roadmaps and investments locked in as of March 2026.
Which leaves us with a really lingering question, I think, building on that Apple Homebot and the GPT 5.4 announcements.
What's that?
Well, if we are surrounded by these visual, emotional AI companions that perfectly adapt to our personalities, and we have quantum computers that instantly solve all logistical friction in our lives, will we eventually lose the psychological resilience required to deal with the friction, unpredictability, and flaws of actual human beings?
Wow. If the machines are engineered to be perfect partners, do we forget how to deal with imperfect ones?
That's the real challenge waiting for us.
That is a phenomenal point to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope digging into all this gave you a clearer map of where we're heading. Keep your curiosity sharp, keep asking the big questions, and we'll catch you next time.